This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Okay, I grew up with that song, and that song made me so close to sobbing right before the gospel because I could visualize my mother and my grandmother singing it. So there's something about these old songs when you hear them and they bring back very profound memories. Do you agree? I wanted to start with a prayer for Tuesday. So if you have a Book of Common Prayer, it's red. We don't usually pull them out, but pull it on out. And let's keep this out for Tuesday as well, please. So It's prayer number 24 in the back where it starts the prayer. And it's for an election. Did you all find it? Someone tell me. Here's a good... What is it? 822, foreign election, prayer number 24. And let's say this together. Almighty God, to whom we must account for all our powers and privileges, guide the people of the United States and this community in the election of officials and representatives, that by faithful administration and wise laws, the rights of all may be protected and our nation be enabled to fulfill your purposes. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So also, please remember to pray that on Tuesday as our country goes through its wonderful process of selecting new leaders, and we want to make sure that our democracy continues and we all respect each other's choices and love one another as God loved us. So on another note, last weekend, some of us went to the Diocesan Convention of Southeast Florida, and I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but I was elected Dean of the South Palm Beach Deanery. Yeah, you know what the reward of work is? More work, right? Okay, so I just wanted to speak briefly about the presiding bishop. We had one, Michael Curry, was so pastoral and so emanating the love of Jesus. We all adored him. But this time we have Sean Rowe is his name, and I hope that you go back and can read his sermon. I haven't gotten a chance, but I've heard from many people that it was outstanding. And I would like to say his presentation was great. He's very different from, we all have our gifts, as St. Paul tells us, and he's very different. He's very much a man of organization and vision, and he knows that we need to plan for the future. The first thing he did was he did his installation online rather than having it at the National Cathedral and spending millions of dollars. He wanted to, he's very aware of resources, and he wants to put his efforts into really nurturing and sustaining parish life. So we all look forward to seeing his impact on our church and how we can join him and contribute in new ways to the wellness of our church. So on Friday was All Saints Day, and then the second day is All Souls Day, and it's a major, major feast. This is one of the big five of the year, and sometimes people forget how important this day is, so we're allowed to move it to Sunday, which we did. And we're to look back at our ancestors and especially the people in the church who've lived and made a difference in our world of tumult and tragedy. And if you look at the beginning of the disciples, they look kind of like, I don't know, some of you aren't old enough to remember the Three Stooges, but they definitely look like the Three Stooges. And then my husband often says to me, isn't it amazing how they changed from the Three Stooges into these disciples who were willing to die for their faith and did, except I think the only one that didn't get martyred was John. And so it's really interesting how they turned around and they really became these incredible, legendary men of faith. I would say that during these saints, were about 100, they started to really name saints and recognize people who absolutely gave their life for good. And then they began to connect them later on with their interests, like Francis of Assisi with ecology, or Francis de Sales was a writer. One of my favorite stories is Claire of Assisi. She was named the patron of television because one Christmas she was too ill to go to Mass, and she actually felt like she saw the whole thing in her mind, and she experienced it, and she heard the singing. So she's the patron saint of TVs. Pretty cool, huh? There's a difference between All Saints Day and All Souls Day and Dia de los Muertos in Mexico, which is one of my favorite things. If you haven't seen Coco, you're missing out. It's one of my favorite movies about being comfortable about your ancestors and praying for them and knowing that they're still in consciousness and still with us. We're still holding them. And I think what's really fascinating about saints is that there are a lot of anonymous saints. How many of you know anonymous saints? People that were in your life that you know made a huge difference in the world. Enough of you aren't raising your hands. Come on, you had to know some people who were really, really changing the world for the good, but they were anonymous. People really didn't know about them. And I would say, I have a relative, his name was Dr. George McManus Dakin, on my father's side, and he was 13 when he went to see William Lloyd Garrison and Frederick Douglass in Indiana, and he heard them speak about the Indiana Underground Railroad. So he began to, with his father, to take African Americans through the Indiana Underground Railroad up to Canada. And because he started to take care of people, he became a doctor later. So for me, he's a helper. And I don't know, I'm a big fan of Mr. Rogers. Are you all a fan of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? And he said that his mother said, yes, everybody's clapping. Let's clap for Mr. Rogers. I don't know, many people don't know he was a Presbyterian minister. And he basically said, and I think some of you know this story, that his mother said, when horrible things happen, look for the helpers. Look for the helpers. So I believe that my great-great-grandfather was a helper, and I believe we all need to be helpers. Briefly, I need to discuss the gospel today because we have some other business to do too, but I have to tell you, this is a very difficult gospel. It's only in John, but they told us in seminary, and I think it's right, that it's not great to read it at funerals, even though it's one of the suggested reading. And the reason is, we could sit here and go through it, and I think you would figure it out, is, and if you've seen The Chosen, and you've seen the part with Lazarus, I don't know if you've all seen that, Thomas has just lost his beloved, his betrothed, his intended. She's been murdered. And he's there saying, wait a minute, you're bringing him back, but you didn't bring back my love. Do you see the trouble here? Do you see the quandary? We don't know why some people get healed, some people don't. Some people miss an accident by a half a second, some people don't. Some people were in the towers on 9/11, some people weren't. We don't know, it's a mystery. And so there's a lot to be unpacked in this reading. I think one of the most powerful parts of that gospel is that Jesus weeps, right? Jesus weeps, and I believe Jesus weeps with us whenever we are going through times of turmoil. And it brings me to the question that Rabbi Kushner asked. Why do bad things happen to good people? Who knows? I think we have to struggle with that. So there are many questions for us to ponder. I also would like you to ponder something else, and that's your contributions to our communal life together. So how do we share our gifts? I'm among you here at St. Joseph's, and I would say here it's really important for us to think about our roots. We have been given life through our parents and grandparents and our forebears, and so we remember them this time of year, but we also need to ponder the gift of nature over the centuries of human life. And in particular, I would like you to begin to visualize trees. Trees. And trees, you know, when you're going to do your genealogy, you do a genealogy tree. But trees are so much more than that. Trees give us life. They give us oxygen. And I want to end my sermon and then turn it over to some very special people with a poem by Mary Oliver on trees. When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locusts, equally the beech, the oaks, the pines, they give off such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me daily. I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches, and they call again. "It's simple," they say. "And you too have come into this world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine." So now I would like to introduce Chris Metzger and Beth. You want to wave at Beth? She's back. She's up there. She's working on some stuff too. Beth Shires. These are our two leaders with stewardship. Chris and Beth.
God has so blessed me throughout my life. When I think of the abundance of blessings and gifts that he's given me, I think of a song I sang as a child in Sunday school, "My cup is full and running over." I grew up in a loving family. I have a loving husband. I have three beautiful, talented daughters and four amazing grandchildren. But there are highs and lows in life, and I've had my lows, difficult situations, dark days, the loss of loved ones, including that of my son. But God doesn't have highs and lows. He's a constant. He's in your life. His presence is there, and he knows that I am broken, but he still accepts me. He eases my pain, and he lifts me up to see the light with my heart when my eyes only see darkness. Attending church for me when I was young was about feeling good about myself and doing the right thing, until I came across Isaiah 43:1. "I have called you by name, you are mine." This spoke to me. I was a child of God. He knew me. He knew everything about me. He loves me, but did I know him? Well, being a Christian is much more than feeling good about yourself and doing the right thing. It's about a personal relationship, a relationship that grows and is nurtured through prayer, scripture, and service. And it's ongoing, and God's grace is there to help us through those dark times. And most importantly, his love helps me to reflect on others the goodness that he shares with me. It's a long story how I got to St. Joe's, but I did. And I sat in the back pew, and I hoped no one would notice, but that doesn't happen at St. Joe's. St. Joe's is not just a congregation, it's a loving family. It's a place with enormous spiritual energy that is contagious and enlightens everyone that comes. It's a place where God's work is in action, serving others through the various ministries we offer, both to our members and to the community at large. And it's a place where we can shed our burdens, share our joys, and contribute our talents. And again, I'm reminded of that song, "My cup is full and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be. My cup is full and running over, and I'm so thankful to St. Joseph's family."
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's kind of a tough act to follow. Thank you, Linda. Almost 70 years ago, St. Joseph's Episcopal Church was just a seed planted on top of the highest hill here in Boynton Beach. It has grown and thrived over the years like a fruitful, majestic tree. In 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, it reads, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Our St. Joseph's tree is beautiful and strong and draws people to it, to enjoy its refreshing shade, to be protected from the sun and heat, to give fertile ground for seedlings to spring up, to find nourishment from its fruit, to climb just for fun, and to even lean against its strong trunk to relax for a healing respite. St. Joseph's is truly our tree of life that has added many rings to its trunk over the years. Rings of love, rings of faith, rings of healing, rings of service, rings of ministry. I like to call these sharings. So we give of our time, talent, and treasure here at St. Joseph's. We are actually sharing God's abundance, sharing all the gifts and blessings we have received in life and here at St. Joseph's. So as we start this focus on stewardship, let's reflect on the gifts and blessings we have received and how you wish to share them. Don't think about sharing out of obligation or duty, but out of a deep gratitude for God's generosity. Let sharing your life and resources be pure joy. As a reminder, commitment cards will be offered and blessed on Christ the King weekend, 3 weeks from now on November 24th. We invite you to join us the next 3 weeks as we come to the tree. Thank you.